Okay, let's look. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself. That's the word spodazo. Study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth.
So we said that a believer must or should possess the following skills while presenting Bible truth. And we said part of those skills are that first word there, spodazo. Spodazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. Spodazo. Is the word that implies to be eager, to be diligent, to put effort. Do you understand? So it says, the believer must understand that one of the skills in Bible interpretation is diligence. Diligence. He must see himself. He says, study to show yourself approved, a worker. That is the word egatis. The word used for laborer. Egatis, laborer, from the verb agon or agon. So it's the verb agon explains what the noun is. It's used for a toiler. A toiler, one who is hired to do a task. So in presenting Bible truth, the believer should see himself as a worker. And he must understand that presenting Bible truth comes with or requires labor. Requires labor. He must understand that it requires labor, right? He must be careful in handling biblical truth. A worker that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, ototomio. Carefulness. Careful handling biblical truth. Must be careful with his use of words. Must be careful. Must be careful. That word ototomio is actually is often used to describe how a surgeon carries out cesarean section, carry out his surgical activities. He will do it carefully. Do you understand? He will do it carefully. He must also understand that, the believer, in being careful, must read the Bible thoroughly and together. He must read the Bible thoroughly. Luke 24:27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded diamenio. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Meaning Jesus went through explaining the words of the prophets, explaining the language of the prophet. He would use, in going through, that means he made sure they went through scriptures together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the believer must read everything thoroughly. That is anagenosko. Anagenosko. Matthew 19. Have you not read? Have you not read everything? He must explain and interpret. Now, the believer must explain and interpret scriptures in the light of the epistles. This is what we've been discussing from the first session. This is the fifth session. He must explain or interpret scripture in the light of the epistles. This is Christ didache. So Christ didache is the explanation we have in the epistles. Do you understand me? So we can call the epistles the didache of Christ. And you know how we arrive there. Right? Or you go back to your notes. Session 1, the first session, we arrived there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So meaning we are not just, this is not cliche. We will explain how we arrived there. Right? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's look at this. Just like the example we had before we started, or the review we had before we started, we said the promise made to Abraham in the scripture was to be the indwelling of the Spirit, both from Paul, from the writer of Hebrews. Peter calls it utterance, which flows from the indwelling of the Spirit. Right? Right? Okay. And we said there's no promises but promise. Let's quickly look at Genesis 12. Genesis 12.
As I will kick off from today, we are looking at the promised land. We are in the land now. We'll discuss promise. Now let's look at the land. Genesis 12 from 1 to 3. Are you with me? He said, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Underline that. To a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we took note of two things, two keywords. He says, I will make ye a great nation. A great nation. And we saw that word great nation will imply a people. Right? We saw that. Right? Last week. Right? We saw it last week. When he said great, now make it a great nation. We say it will imply a people, the sons of God, indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? What's that what we saw? Oh, you didn't go through your notes. How would you remember? That's what we looked at last week. Hallelujah. That's what we looked at last week. Hallelujah. So we said that's great nation. It was referring to what? People. Right? People. That's what we said. Glory to God. Glory to God. So also in verse 1 it said, to a land I will show you. So a land is in view. Right? A land is in view. So, God promised a land to Abraham. Because I remembered when we discussed that last week, we said, when he said, I'll make thee a great nation, right? Just to thy seed. Right? To thy seed. He said, I'll make thee a great nation. Then he also said, to thy seed, I will give the inhabitants of the land. Now, when he said to thy seed, I remember we said, he also made the same promise to Isaac. So the seed will not be who? Isaac. He made the same promise to Jacob. The seed will not be who? Jacob. He made the same promise to the children of Israel. The seed will not be Israel as a nation. Do you understand? So who would then be the seed? We say the seed will be what? Will be who? Christ. And by identification, the church. Was that what we said? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and we said that is the great nation will be the seed. Right? And the seed will be who? Those indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's move up one bit. So now, the same promise of land was made to Isaac, Jacob, and the children of Israel in Egypt, which I just said right now, right? Right? Okay, he said, to the land I will show you. So, for us to investigate that land, we have to read the epistles, because there is a land in view now, right? And God said, to the land I will show you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's not jump the gun. Let's investigate that word land that I've shown you. He told him this in chapter 12. Okay. Something just at the end of this section, I'll show you something to look out for. You understand me? No, remember, what we teach
It's so that you would know, right? And so that you would be able to teach also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that, first of all, for you to know and what? Walk in the light of God. You know? Hallelujah. Okay. Look at this. So let's look at the epistles. Hebrews 11 verse 9. The writer of Hebrews quotes Genesis 12 verses 1 into 2 verbatim. Hebrews 11 verse 9. It says, by faith, referring to Abraham, let's have a verse. Say, by faith, Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, land of promise, right? And when he went out not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. Take note of that. He said he dwelt in the land of promise. Next question. Did Abraham see the land? He said he dwelt in the land of promise. Okay? As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited for that city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. What's the writer of Hebrews doing here? He just told us right now that Abraham dwelt in the land of promise. And in verse 10, he said he searched for a city. Are you with me? So those are two words we need to look out for, right? He dwelt and where and what? He looked for a city. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So before we get looking at that, let's consider something that is prevalent here. He said by faith in verse 9. Right? So something that is important to look out for is the word faith. Faith, that word faith is the Greek word pistis, or from the Greek word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. It implies to trust in. To trust in. The first mention of that word faith in this chapter, which is chapter 11, is in verse 1. Into 2. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders? The elders are those who will read from verse 4 to verse 39. From verse 4. The elders are those who read from verse 4, sorry, to verse 32. Hallelujah. We'll read about the elders from verse 4. Or let's just say from verse 4 to verse 39. We'll read about the elders. If you look at it critically, the elders will be those who believe to the saving of the soul. So, faith is pistis. We will have time next year or sometime later to look at that word faith broad. But we'll just take a bit of, we'll actually talk about a bit of it right now. Hallelujah. At least to have a foundation of what that word means. Hallelujah. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. So he says, now faith. That word now, N-O-W, is the word day. D-E, day. Is a word that implies moreover or therefore. It is not used, it's not like an arrival point, but an explanation. Do you understand? It's not an arrival point. So, you know, some people, even myself, I've said it years back. He said, now, nah, faith is the subtle noun. There's one I didn't do, I didn't say faith will be now. I didn't do that. Hallelujah. But I know there are some who said, faith, if it is not now, it's not faith. Hallelujah. But, you know, we say now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There are two definitions of faith here. Did you remember that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. But actually, Paul is not defining faith here.
This is not a definition of faith. The word they shows that he is actually explaining something. Hallelujah. So for us to know what he is explaining, we'll have to look at chapter 10 from verse 37. Let's see what he is explaining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not defining faith. That is not definition of faith. We can't call that the definition of faith today. Because if you use that as saying the definition of faith today, that is where people will now bring in materialism. Let me share with you something I said years back. That should be way back 2005, 2006. I said something. I said, faith is a transformer. Very funny. And I'm looking at some of the things hope for every other thing. It's a transformer that transforms things from the realms of the spirit to the physical. Word, I mean. That word, in fact, that's very dumb, you know, for me. Hallelujah. But that's way back. Sometimes I think about it, I just laugh. Glory to God. But, you know, say, no, faith transforms things. So, you know, God has blessed you with everything you need. How many of you remember that, Samuel? Ogoloko, if you know Ogoloko, you know this happened. Hallelujah. So, we say, I still have that video. Faith, professional faith. Still have that video. Hallelujah. So, he says, he said, not me. So, I said, then, that if it is not, though, how did I even put it? Can I remember again? Let's just sleep. I now remember. It's just a matter of time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I will say something that I remember now. I'll say something like, you know, God has blessed us. You see how people twist scriptures. It says, Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 13, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. So, those blessings are in the realms of the Spirit. Blessings. Hallelujah. So those blessings are in the realms of the Spirit. So your faith is what you need to bring them out from the rest of the Spirit to the rest. I hope you are not joking now. From the rest of the Spirit to the rest of the physical. How funny that is. Hallelujah. Well, that is wrong. Hallelujah. For you to call, for Paul to use that word they means he is not defining it, but he's explaining his discussion from chapter 10, verse 37. Look at it. Chapter 10, 37. I would love to start from verse 36. Before I get to 36, let's understand in the book of Hebrews, Paul has an audience, or has an audience, right? Now, so that you understand the audience of Paul. Because if you read the book of Hebrews, you know, Paul didn't give you who is. I mean, did I say Paul? The writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews didn't give you who his audience is. Right? Right? Aha. He didn't give you, like, unlike Paul. Paul would say, Paul to the church in Rome, to the church in Corinth. Right? Now, the audience of Hebrews. If you read from chapter 1 to the end, you discover that it's as if the writer is speaking to an audience with three categories of people. One, those who have believed. Listen, those who have believed the gospel. Are you hearing me? Those who have believed the gospel. You'll find that in Hebrews, in chapter 11, look at verses 1 to 3. He uses the word we understand. Do you know what that means? By faith, we understand. So he's writing to believers. You see, you would be able to get the audience as you study along. Then, if you look at, he also writes to Jews who are
not yet believe.
Are you with me?
So he writes to them to persuade them. I am to believe. And they are all in the same chapter. And then he writes to those who are hardened. Jews who are hardened. And what does he do when he writes to them? He brings in numbers experience to them. Are you hearing me? He brings in the numbers experience in chapter 3 to chapter 4. So if you go through the book of Hebrews, you will find these people as his audience. Hallelujah. You'll find these three set of people in the audience of the writer. So as is the same gospel he's using to speak to the believers, he's persuading those who are yet to believe, and he's still giving, he's still ministering to those who are hurting, who have hardened their hearts, still persuading them. Hallelujah. So let's go down to verses, because that would help us as we go to verse 36 of Hebrews 10. He said, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while." Yet a little while, he who is coming will come. He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So when he uses the word, "but we are not of those who draw back to perdition," he's referring to those who have believed. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Referring to those who have believed. So when he quotes verse 37, he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 2. He's quoting Habakkuk 2 verse 3. Hallelujah. He's quoting Habakkuk 2 3. He said, "Yet a little while." Habakkuk will call it the vision. He said, the vision is on appointed time, right? He says, "Though it may tarry, wait for it, it will come." Right? Hallelujah. So now, the writer of Hebrews now takes Habakkuk and it brings in a key message from Habakkuk. And that is that vision, he calls it he. So he brings in a person. So that vision Habakkuk was talking about was about a person. Are you with me? Was about a person. So he uses the word he. So who will be the he? Look at that same chapter 10 verse 7. I'll start from verse 5. He said, "Therefore when he came into the world." Now you would see that chapter 10, as you get into verse 5, he's now addressing the Jewish guy who is yet to believe. Are you with me? Now look at what he says in verse 5. He said, "Therefore, when he came to the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but the body you prepared for me. In burnt offering and in sacrifice for sin you have no pleasure.' Then I said, 'I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Look at verses 8. It says, "Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sin you do not desire.'" I mean, "you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." What is he saying? Remember, he's convincing the one that has not believed, right? Threatening to convince, and he says, "We are all being saved by who?
I mean, we have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So he brings in Jesus, hallelujah, as that he. Did you get that? So Jesus is that he. Look at verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, he says, my soul has no pleasure in him. Take note of that word. Anyone that draws back, I mean, them that were not like they that draw back to perdition. It says, but we are of those who, I mean, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So those who believe to the saving of the soul will be those he will speak about in Hebrews 11 verse 13. They believe to the saving of the soul, referring to the fathers. Do you understand me? We'll get to that soon. They believe to the saving of the soul, Hebrews 11 13. They are called the elders, Hebrews 11 2, Hebrews 11 39. So those who, listen, remember he's convincing the unsaved Jew. Hallelujah. Right? So he will now draw two sets of people from the Old Testament. Those who draw back into perdition. Who will he bring in as those who draw back? He will bring in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to Hebrews 4 verse 2. Hebrews 4 2. He said, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word they heard did not profit them. Did you hear that? So he brings in Hebrews 4 2. Those who draw back to perdition. Are you following me? Hallelujah. He brings that in. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 27. Look at verse 26 into 27. Say, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there, he says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. What is he talking about? You know, if you take this out of context, if you sin willfully, there's no sacrifice of sin. No, you have to know his audience here. He's writing to the man who is yet to believe. Now, what will not be the willful sin? The willful sin here will not be unbelief to the gospel. So, when he says, if you sin willfully, it will not be unbelief. Are you following me? Hallelujah. It will not be unbelief when the gospel is preached. Hallelujah. So it is that man that does not believe when the gospel is preached that is called what draws back to perdition. Look at verse 27. He now says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two to three witnesses. How much more was punishment? Do you suppose will he be thought worthy? Will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? So, a rejection of the gospel is what the writer of Hebrews referred to in verse 29. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is a rejection of the gospel. It's called the wrath of God. What God does, or God doing nothing, right? In man's rejection of the gospel. Remember the message will have eternity, right? Eternity. God's wrath will be God doing nothing, right? Aha, man without God will be God's wrath. Hallelujah. That is man without God. That will be God's wrath.
And to cover life again in details.
They can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, are you following me? So, Paul, how am I calling Paul here? Well, I believe Paul wrote it. Otherwise.
Except otherwise.
Well,
the writer of Hebrews, right?
The writer of Hebrews will now bring in, listen to what he did. So what is he doing? There's an explanation flowing from chapter 10 already, right? So he identifies two sets of people, those who believe to the saving of the soul, and those who do what? Who draw back to perdition. The one that believes in the saving of the soul is the one who hears the message and believes. And the one who draws back is the one who doesn't believe. Now, he now says in chapter 11, verse 1, based on the explanation of chapter 10, are you following me? He now says, now, faith. Are you listening? Are you following that? Now, faith. That is to say, based on what I'm saying, faith to those who believe to the saving of the soul. Are you listening to me? Will now be what? Substance of things they hope for. So their faith will be a hope, will be a promissory note of what God will do in Christ. Are you following that? Remember, in explaining this, he brings in the wilderness scenario, right? He brings in the wilderness, he brings in Moses. Those who rejected Moses' teaching, right? And then he brings in the hall of fame of faith, those who believe, or who believe the message in the Old Testament. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So he now says, the just now, those who believe in the saving of the soul, he now says, the faith in that dispensation is what substance of things hold for. We're going to look at that word soon. That word, substance. Let me read what I have here. Remember we said that word day, which is now, is the word that implies moreover. If I didn't say it, I'm saying it now. The word that implies moreover or therefore. So it's a flow. Now, that Hebrews 11:1, if I'm to look at it, I'll call it moreover. Instead of drawing back to perdition, if I'm to explain it, right? Or if I'm to interpret it. I am it. Now, based on what we have been studying from chapter 10, I cannot interpret chapter 11 verse 1 to be moreover. Therefore, instead of drawing back to perdition, faith which the just live by exists as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did you get that? Did you get that? I'll take it again. We have just seen chapter 10, right? And he has drawn out two sets of people. Now he is now going further. He now says, therefore, faith, or therefore, instead of drawing back to perdition, remember he said to convince who? The unbelieving Jews. Now, instead of drawing back to perdition, faith, which the just lived by, because he has just mentioned that they believe in the saving of the soul, right? Which the just lived by, exists in that dispensation as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. The evidence of those of things not seen. That word substance is the word hypotasis. We've done this study before in understanding the gospel. That should be one. We've done this study before, but we're taking it again. Hallelujah. We've done this study before, so you can also refer to understanding the gospel one and look at both of them together, you understand it better.
Hallelujah.
Now, substance is the word hypostasis. It implies what makes another existence real. What makes another, or what makes another existence real? Someone else's existence real. What makes another person's existence real? That word substance implies confidence or assurance. So faith is the confidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for. So that word substance is used, that word hypostasis is used for what makes another person's existence real. The writer of Hebrews will use it in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Let's go to Hebrews 1 3. It says, talking about Jesus, he says, who being the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. That word hypostasis is the word person, express image of his person, meaning Jesus is the express image of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the express image of, is the express image of God's person, God's assurance. So what is the writer of Hebrews saying? Jesus makes the existence of God real to us. Hallelujah. His incarnation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. He uses the same word to hypostasis. Chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, that's the word confidence, steadfast to the end. He says, we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. That's the word confidence. So, that word confidence there is used for an assurance. An assurance. Even what is expected, when even when it is not seen, is he. An assurance, a reality. So let's go back, let's get to that chapter 1 again. So, what is the writer of Hebrews saying in that verse 3? In fact, if you read from verse 1, it says, God who has various times and in sundry way and in various ways. Sorry, I'm just using old King James and I'm seeing new King James here. He said, various ways spoke in time past to the fathers through by the prophet, has in his last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the words of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become much better than the angel, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them. What is he saying? The writer of Hebrews is communicating us here that reality of Christ's resurrection will be found in faith, which is in the word spoken by the prophet and not in things. Not in things. It will be found in words. In words. So if it will be found in words, then chapter 3 verse 14 will be what? He said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, what we believed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get back to, we are defining faith, right? It's the substance. So that's where we left from. So the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence. That word evidence is the word that implies conviction, persuasion, or a proof. Conviction, persuasion, or a proof. Electro is used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Or reproof. Electro. Another word we find there is the word things. The substance of things hoped for. That word things is from the Greek word pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A, pragma. It's from the word praso. P-R-A-S-S-O, praso. Praso implies the action of another person. The action of a third person. You understand me? The action of another person. It is used for what that other person would be doing or will do, or has done. You'll find reference to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews 6:18. It says, by two immutable things. In which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So use the word by two immutable things, unchangeable things. So when you hear by two immutable things, it talks about what God did. What God did. Use for what God did. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Another reference to the word things. He said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things that can never take the same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. He uses the word things there, the shadow of good things to come. So the good things to come is referring to Christ. A thought, another person's action. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the law of the good things to come will be of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's move ahead. So if we are to look at Hebrews 11:1, since we have seen that since the process or pragma speaks about another person's action, it then means that what the writer of Hebrews will be saying will be, moreover, faith is seen as the substance of the action of another person hoped for. Who is the another person? Will be Christ. Did you see that? So it's used for the action and not of another person. So faith will now be, in Hebrews 11:1, will be the substance of the action. Remember that word things will now be action of another person. So the substance of the action of another person, which is hoped for, the evidence of the action of that person not seen. And that person will be who? Christ. So it will be Christ's work. Are you following me? So it will be Christ's work. So, faith has used in this Hebrews 11 and 10. Listen to this.
will have an underlying tone. There will be an underlying tone in what the writer of Hebrews is communicating. And that underlying tone will be, faith will be based on God's promise. Yeah. Do you understand me? I'm not giving a generic term. Please don't go and say I generalize. I did not generalize it. I said here. Are you hearing me? So the underlying tone will be God's promise. Hallelujah. Which he has fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. So we can say the underlying tone here will be based on God's faithfulness, on what he said he will do from the beginning. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So how did we get here? We came from verses 9. So let's go back to verse 9. Hebrews 11, 9. So we just looked at faith, right? By faith. So we just looked at faith a bit. So the underlying tone will be God's promise. So when they say, faith is the solemn of things hoped for, what are they hoping for? What God promised Abraham, what God said he would do, right? And when, since when did God start talking about that? From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. God created the heavens and the earth. We saw that when man sinned, he spoke about the seed. And we saw that how Eve was looking for the seed. Eve was helping God look for seed. He gave birth to Cain. He said, Cain is the seed. He said, no, it's Abel. He switched from Abel. When Abel died, he switched to Seth. When he saw that, death reigns. Really, death reigns. Then gave the grandson, Enoch. Death reigns. Hallelujah. But I saw death to death. Just allow it. Just allow it to go. Because the seed is not, the seed of the woman is not neither Cain nor Abel nor Isaac nor Jacob nor Esau nor anybody. The seed is Christ. And by identification, the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, right? Right? As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for that city which had foundation, which Bridger and Maker God is. Now let's take a look at that word. Now what does it mean when they say Abraham sojourned in the land of promise? By faith. And verse 10 said he looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. Let's marry this, let's bring it home. Hallelujah. So for him to say, because he's saying the same thing. Hallelujah. He looked for that city. So he's saying the same thing. By faith he sojourned in that land. Right? And he looks for that city. So let's look at this. Let's bring it home. This wasn't referring to a physical building. That city whose builder and maker God is, or that land of promise, is not referring to a physical building. When he said he dwelt, look at that verse 9. He says, dwelling, he says, he promised as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. When he uses that word dwelling in tabernacles, he wasn't referring to a physical building. Why? Because he said dwelling with Isaac and Jacob. Historically, Abraham did not see Jacob. So how would he be dwelling in tents and tabernacles with Jacob? Abraham died before Jacob was born. Are you following me? So what is the writer of Hebrews talking about? He cannot be talking about the physical tabernacle. Because if he was talking about the physical tent, If we were talking about physical things, then
we know historically Abraham didn't see Jacob.
Are you with me? Are you with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that word tabernacle is the Greek word skene, S-K-E-N-E, which implies an habitation. So they never lived in any physical building together. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never stayed in any building together. What the writer is talking about is the fact that they all believed in the same promise and walked by faith.
Are you getting me? So that is what the writer is talking about. That they all believed in the same promise. It's the same promise that was given to them. So they all believed.
Are you listening to me? Glory to God.
And you know, the writer of Hebrews will use the word tabernacle very well in his writing because he was talking to the Jews. The Jews, for the Jews, tabernacle is the core of their worship. Do you know what I mean? Tabernacle is the core of the Jewish worship. So, that is why he will use that word tabernacle a lot. So, it's because they believe in the same promise and walked by faith. That was what he was referring to. And they all died in faith.
Did you see that? Look at what exists amongst them. They all believed the promise and they all died in faith. Having received the promise, but they called themselves pilgrims and strangers. They called themselves, look at verse 13. He says, and all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Who are the strangers? Not the ones coming, but they are the strangers. They are the pilgrims. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, that word strangers is from the Greek word xenos. Xenos, X-E-N-O-S. It implies foreign or temporarily or foreign. Is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Sorry, what am I explaining? Did I call strangers, right?
Yes.
Huh? Okay. Strangers. Okay. Hebrews 13, 9. It said, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine. That is the same word there, strange, foreign. Foreign, that's the word, foreign, temporal, strange doctrines. He uses another word, they use another word for themselves and they call themselves pilgrims. Pilgrims is the word parepidemos. Parepidemos, P-A-R-E-P-I-D-E-M-O-S. It implies a temporal position which is not going to last. A temporal position which is not going to last. So therefore, the land of promise Abraham sojourned in by faith, or the city that he looked for, could never have been a literal country. Why do they?
Okay, we'll look at that. I actually did cancel it here because I don't want to jump the gun. I want to say, why do they call themselves people? Why do they call themselves strangers? Is this strangers to the promise? No. They call themselves people in some areas, but we're going to look at that some other day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Because a preacher must bear in himself the message that he preached. So Abraham was a preacher.
Hallelujah. Abraham preached the message. So he will bear, they will bear the message that they preached or the message that they believed. Do you understand? You bear it.
Don't look at that. Maybe some other time. Let's not rush it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. So it could never have been a literal country. And that is why, you see, why do we know that it can never be a literal country? Look at that verses 10. It says they sought for that city which has foundation, which builder and maker is God. So the builder and maker is God. So it is not a literal country. If the builder and maker is God, then this city will be heavenly. If the builder and maker is God, then this land and this city will be heavenly. Jonathan, to be heavenly. So, the writer of Hebrews makes us see that the city or the land is God's own work. It's God's own work. So, the land is God's own work. So, whose builder and maker is God? So, that land is God's work. And God's work is not the physical land. It's not the physical building. God is God's work. And this is why in verse 13 he will say they saw them afar off. Having seen them afar off. How did they see them afar off? So they seeing them afar off, the looking for the city or the seeking for a country was all by faith.
You understand that? Was all by faith.
Because it is not, listen, they didn't, the writer says, the builder and maker is God. So, Abraham was not looking for a city whose king is Abimelech. No. He was not looking for a country whose president is Obama. No. Or Trump or Triumph, anyone. No. He knows what was being communicated to him. So, the writer of Hebrews said they saw them afar off. You know, that is why on Mount Moriah, Jesus will say, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. How did he see? By faith. Did you get that? And he was glad. Abraham saw my day on Mount Moriah. So, take this. Let's drive this home.
The elders, now remember, the elders will be those who believe, right?
Now, the elders will have in foresight the promise. Will have in foresight the promise, and they would live and act as that in their daily work, in their heavy work.
We're going to see that when we discuss on applying this gospel next.
I didn't say next year, I say next. Hallelujah. Next.
So it will come much more alive when we look at understanding this gospel again.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay.
So it was by faith. So there will be, what they will do will be by faith. Right?
Abraham will want to explain to Isaac what God will do. Listen. Which is about the same promise.
What will he do? He will tell him, Jehovah will provide. Right? He told him Jehovah will provide the lamb. And then he now uses Isaac to prefigure what will happen.
So that shows that Abraham knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows what he was talking about. He will now use Isaac.
He will tie Isaac and put on the altar.
And then he will receive him back as a figure. That is to say, Jesus will come back alive. Did you get that? He will come back alive.
So, it shows that they were not doing things in abstract. Do you understand me? They were not doing things in abstract. They knew what was being communicated to them and what they were communicating downline as the gospel. This is what God will do.
Are you hearing me? This is what God will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Moses in Acts of Apostles chapter 3 will tell them, a prophet like me will God send to you. He was talking about him. What he was talking about? Was he talking about another prophet like Samuel? No. Was he talking about another prophet Isaiah? No, he was talking about Christ. Are you hearing me? So the message was not abstract, the message was clear. Even to the children of Jacob. The children of Jacob in the wilderness, it is hard for you to understand the Israelites in the wilderness. The message was clear to them. Do not say Moses was talking to them with symbols and signs. Moses spoke to them literally the promise. Are you hearing me? So it was not abstract to them. Moses did not just give them a tabernacle and say this is what God will do. No, Moses spoke about it to them. Moses explained it to them. In fact, they had Genesis. What they had as oral tradition, they had Genesis. Genesis is the background of Exodus. Are you hearing me? Genesis is the background of Exodus. So they have Genesis for them. But yet, listen, you need to get it. The children of Israel had the oral tradition. Now, listen to this. Now, Moses will teach them, using their oral tradition, what God will do in Christ. He will teach them the oracles of God. In fact, when Jethro visited Moses, what did he tell Moses? What was Moses doing? You know, he told Moses, this thing you are doing, you break down. Only you, they will come, and you'll be teaching them. Only you, you attend to their needs. These are, I will teach them. He said, get 70, get people. Do you understand? In the some in 10, some in 100, some in 20, what would they be doing? Cell meetings. Very simple. Break it into batches. So what was Moses doing? Moses is actually teaching them the oracles of God. So they knew the message, but they did not believe. You know, it's just like some people today nowadays, they call themselves atheists. They say, how can God become a man? Do you understand? Those guys were like, how can God come to save man? It's not possible. So what will Moses now do? Moses will now prefigure. So that prefiguring was as a result of their rejection towards the gospel. We saw that last week, right? Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. So they did not heed to the words of Moses. They did not heed to Moses' word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So there will be no difference. Okay, let me not say that. Let's just continue.
I want to bring in Pharaoh, but he does not survive now. Glory to God. Okay. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 11:14. He says, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." A land comes in again. "And truly, if they had in mind that country from which they had come out, they would not have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country." Now what country is it italicized there? A heavenly. But let's continue. Let's go. "A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them." So two things shows up here: a country, a land. I mean, a city and a land, right? A homeland in verse 14. He had prepared a city for them. So a city comes to mind. Remember what I spoke to us about a city last 2 weeks? Did you remember that? Did you remember that? About the city?
That's right. You need to read your notes.
Okay, that word city is from the Greek word polis. Not a local. P-O-L-I-S. Polis. Police, not Olopa, Black Maria. P-O-L-I-S, police. It's a word that he refers, and I told us last 2 weeks that that word police is actually used for a people. It's used for people. It's the word that refers, that implies an inhabitant, a people. That word police. You find Jesus used the word in Matthew 5 verse 14. He is talking about post-resurrection reality. Jesus is talking to them on the mount. Jesus is teaching on the mount. And he's discussing, teaching them what post-resurrection reality is. Right? We said that we have that teaching before. Right? Post-resurrection reality. And he says in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world." He said, "A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." So he uses the word city for individuals. He uses the word city for a person. Peter will say, "We'll call a person a nation." Say, "You are a royal priesthood." He said, "A holy nation." Did you get that? So the word, that is 1 Peter 2:9. Let's see that sooner. So that word is used for a person, inhabitant. Now that another word comes to play again. That's the word country. It's the word partos, P-A-R-T-O-S. I mean P-A-R-T-R-O-S, patros, is used for a hometown, a native place of birth. A native place of birth. In Matthew 13 verse 53. "Now it came to pass, Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there." Verse 57. Verse 54. "And he came to his own country." His own country. His hometown. Did you get that? In verse 57, he now says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house." So it's used for one's household. The word is used for one's household. Patros. One's homeland. A place of birth. In Mark 6:1-4, the same word is repeated. John 4:44, "A prophet is with his, but without honor in his own town." Town is used. Luke 4:23-24. Is used for where one is born. So this tells us that what God said to Abraham, that the land of promise, which we find in Hebrews 11, 9, and the land he will show him in Genesis 12, verses 2, will be a people. Did you say that? Will be what? A people. So the land will be what? A people. So the land is not clay soil or sandy soil. The land refers to a people. Did you get it? Okay. The land will be a people. And if you watch how God spoke to Abraham, he told him in chapter 12 that I will show you. Later I will show you. He gets to chapter, I guess that should be chapter 15 or chapter 22. He tells him, he starts, now speaks about seed. Do you get that? About seed. So it's the same thing. So that land is the seed. Are you following me? It's the same thing he's telling him. The land is the seed. Okay. So we are at our arrival point now. So the land is a people. In Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 23, he said, you have come in unto Mount Zion. He said, the city of the living God. Holy, the city of the living God. The city means the people, the family, or the household of the living God. So the city is what he calls the church of the firstborn. Let's look at that Hebrews 12, 22. Well, it says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He says, to the heavenly Jerusalem. So that city is the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you following me? The city of the living God is the heavenly Jerusalem. To the innumerable company of angels, say to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. So that city is the church of the firstborn. Say to the spirit of just men made perfect at last. Okay, now made perfect. Or made perfect at last. It's also the church of the it's also the city of the living God. Are you following me? It's also the city of the living God. So let's see how the writer of Hebrews drive home these truths to chapter 12, verse 22 to 23. Look at Hebrews 8. He goes back and quotes from the prophet, verses 10. He goes back and quotes. And he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And with the house, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them in their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall be my people. So, what is inferred there is what? A people. I'll be their God, and they will be my people. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. Sorry. Sorry, verse 16. He says, but now they desire more. They desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Thus, we can say, this was what God promised the fathers. This was what God promised the fathers, a people. Are you following me? A people.
This was what Abraham saw on Mount Moriah.
Abraham saw a people.
You know, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
What did he see? He didn't see his day will be what? His resurrection.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And in his resurrection, he called many sons to glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So Abraham rejoiced to see my resurrection. Rejoiced to see my day. What they confessed was a people. What they hoped for was a people. This country they sought for was not Israel, near Palestine. What they sought for was not Jerusalem, was not Jericho. What they sought for is a people. The land flowing with milk and honey was a people. It's not a land where honey will just be flowing out. It's a people. The land flowing with milk and honey is not Canaan. He said, for if Joshua had given them that rest, then there will be no rest spoken of in another place. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
So, that country was a people.
What they sought for was a people. Who are these people? The sons of God. The new creation in Christ. The church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. 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 What does the writer of Hebrew call the church of the firstborn? He calls them sanctified.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. He said, but he who sanctified and those who have been sanctified are all of one. Say, for this reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren.
He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So he calls them sanctified. They are sanctified and perfected by the offering of Christ through the eternal spirit in their hearts.
Let's see that in chapter 10, verse 10. Chapter 10, Hebrews 10, 10. He calls them sanctified, chapter 2. Chapter 10, he calls them, verse 10. He said, by that we have been sanctified again. Did you see that? We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. He said, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified.
So we are called sanctified. Those who have been sanctified are the people. Glory to God. If God permits us in 2020, we will look at it. If not 2022. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot to learn. And keep learning. And keep learning. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at chapter 9, verse 14. He spoke about them again. Chapter 9, verse 14. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot, cleanse your conscience of dead work to serve the living God?
These ones have been purified. These ones have received the eternal spirit. They've been perfected by the offerings of Christ. So we can say, Hebrews 11 verse 13, they looked up to the new creation. Hebrews 11:13.
And all that they have not even received the promise, but haven't seen them afar off. Who did they see afar off?
The new creation. Hallelujah.
They saw the new creation.
Look at verse 39 to verse 40
of that Hebrews 11. It says, all this, having obtained a good testimony, true faith, did not receive the promise. But God, having provided something better for us. Did you see? He now narrows that. Did you see how the writer of Hebrews is writing? In that same chapter 11, verse 9, he narrowed it down to us, the believing ones. Hallelujah.
He said, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in chapter 12, verse 22, you know, so you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He said to the heavenly Jerusalem. He said to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable company of angels. Look at verses 23. If I'm not mistaken, verse 23, he said to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who have been registered in heaven, he said to the judge of all, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men. Who's just men now? The just men will be reading of. Hallelujah. The just men will be reading of in chapter 11, verse 4 to verse 20 to verse 32. You remember them? The Isaac, the Abraham, the Enoch, he said to the spirit of just men. Made perfect. I thought that they were not made perfect. But the Bible shows us in chapter 11, verse 13, verse 40, that they cannot be made perfect apart from us. So therefore, we can now read, because of the resurrection of Christ, their perfection was in the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. So we can now read today that we have come to the spirit of just men. Now made perfect, or you put it, made perfect at last. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So it is at the resurrection of Christ that their salvation became possible. Did you follow that? So salvation for them in the Old Testament became possible at the resurrection. So at last, they are made perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when Abraham was on Mount Moriah, he saw a people. He saw a people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, look at verse 22 again. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. We have come. Listen. He calls it the church of the firstborn. He calls it the church of the firstborn. That word firstborn is the Greek word prototokos. It means a model. A model. A prototype. A model. Prototokos is on the word proton. Proton means first and model. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Firstborn. Proton. Prototokos, proton techno, right? Yeah, prototokos. Hallelujah. Proton techno. So he was referring to Jesus. Look at Hebrews 1 verse 3. He says, "Who being the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of the power which he had by himself poured out sins." And sat down at the right hand of majesty. He calls him the express image of his person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that image, that prototokos, he's referring to Christ. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. Sorry, that chapter 1 is, we are supposed to read from verse 3 to verse 6, but let's look at verse 6 of chapter 1. Say, for the root of the angel did he, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, now, it uses the word firstborn prototokos, he says, let all the angels worship him. So, the prototokos. Look at chapter 5, verse 6 now. He says, he also says in another place, you are my... Okay, he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So therefore, the firstborn, the prototokos, will be seen in his priestly ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he is the model son. Glory to God. And you know, who is the model son? And we are like him. Hallelujah. We are like him. We are like him. He is the model. We follow suit. Glory to God. We are like him. The right arm, by how are we like him? By identification. Don't never lose that. By identification. Which identification? When we believe. Right? So the identification will be our belief in what Christ has done. Now, take note of faith in our dispensation and faith in that dispensation. Faith in Hebrews 11:1. Or Hebrews 10:37 to Hebrews 11:1-2 will be belief in what God will do, right? But faith now today is what belief in what Christ has done. Are you hearing me? So that belief in what Christ has done is why we identify with him. Glory to God. Together with those who believe in what Christ will do in God's dispensation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You could easily rush. Listen to what I say and listen to what I did not say. I heard someone say something in the course of the week. He started off well. He said, faith to the believers is not hopeful. Listen. He said, it's not hope for. And that's good. He said, it's what Christ has done. In fact, he now went, always take note, always be mindful when you are not entering, when you're not crossing the landmark. He now said, in fact, in Christianity, we don't hope for anything. And that is wrong. Did you get that? He said, hope is God in the Old Testament. In Christ, everything is settled. He started off well. He said, Hebrews 11:1. He said, that is why I keep telling you guys. I keep telling people that are with me. That's on what guy? See, I'm waiting for WCC. Your pastor said I was going to say something about heresy. And I want to hear that story. Heresy is not a total perversion of scriptures. Let me use what Pastor Shevu will say, where he said this, building a ministry with of word and power. He says, you do not serve a poison. If I bring poison and say, brother, take poison with me, a poison is not served alone. In fact, a poison you serve with your best meal. So what is your best meal? Exegesis. What do you call it? Exegesis. Protos, epa, no, epigilia. What was that one again? The Greek word will be plenty. When we give you Greek, say, aha, this man is more dead. Right on, Pastor. That's what you are. You are a gift to the body. That's
that you are blessed in the body of Christ. But you know, that's what you need. Seriously, you need. And you find out at most of people who are not accountable. You understand? Let me tell you something about an untrained believer. An untrained believer does not want to get accountable. Are you hearing me? An untrained believer doesn't want to get accountable. And when a man is not accountable, he could go to an extreme without even knowing. When he started, you know, faith that Paul, that the writer was talking about in Hebrews 11, was not referring to faith for today. He was referring to faith in the Old Testament. And he quoted too well, quoted, said, this man is teaching like my pastor. Hebrews 10, he flowed, and he now said, you know what? You know, you could easily lose sight of what he had just said and think it is a deeper mystery. You say, yes, the believer doesn't hope for anything. It is then in the Old Testament that hope, and now they are made perfect. You know, they can't be made perfect without us. It's very home a good point, and I say, you know, there's no need to hope. There's no hope. And that is an error. Now, that is a perversion. That's another gospel. Say the believer doesn't hope. In Hebrews 1:13 shows you, Hebrews 1:13, that the Holy Ghost which we have, which we receive, is a hope for the prized possession. So there's still a hope. Which is the body, the redemption of the body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Aha.
Glory to God. So let's continue. I just said that because I needed to point that out because I saw that. Hallelujah. I saw that and I needed to point it out to us. Glory to God. So you don't lose sight of that.
Are you hearing me? So you don't lose sight of that.
Okay. So, by our identification, Galatians 3. Let's begin to round up now.
So we are rounding up.
Let's round up. Galatians 3. Just see, look at how Paul flew. Verse 16. He said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say and to seeds. You know, you can easily lose it and say, he's not talking about seeds, it means only Christ.
How can I say the seed of Abraham? Well, no, you can easily lose it. But he says as to seed, he's referring to natural descendants. Are you listening to me?
Because you have to follow Paul's flow. As to seed, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is who? Christ. If you stop here, you might lose sight of what he is saying. Look at verse 26. He flows down. He now says verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, will this faith now be faith in Christ Jesus, or the faith in Christ Jesus, will it be faith in what he has done? Right? To be faith in what Christ has done, which is what God's faithfulness, right? Right? For hope. So remember, that is underlining. Right? So faith in what Christ has done. Let's move on. So verse 28. Okay, let's go to verse 27. It says, but as many of you as are baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Now, do you see how Paul is explaining? He's bringing in the church to that seed. As of Christ. Are you following? Hallelujah. Okay. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, or if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you see that? How he brings us in? Because of our identification
with Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thus, the church of the firstborn are sons of God
and are built by God Himself.
When?
When Jesus resurrected.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So when I read Hebrews 11 verse 10,
what will I see? For they waited for that city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What would I see if I look there?
I will see the believer. They wait for that city. They wait for the believers. Hallelujah. Because the believer, therefore, is God's dwelling place. It's God's dwelling place. It's God's building. The believer is God's building. The believer is God's house, God's temple. And Paul will corroborate this same in 1 Corinthians 3:16.
1 Corinthians 6:19.
1 Corinthians 6:16. You are the temple. Don't you know your bodies are the temple of the living God? God doesn't dwell in bricks. Bricks. He doesn't dwell in bricks. He doesn't dwell in bricks. He doesn't dwell in temple made with hands. He dwells in the temple made by His own hands. He doesn't dwell in bricks. How much more? How much more than with the bricks? Than with this net? God doesn't dwell there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 3:14. We are families. We are families.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Romans 8:14. Say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Say, they are the sons of God. We've come into sonship, brothers and sisters. So that promised land, that land promised to Abraham, is actually a people, the new creation, you and I in Christ. Are you blessed? Are you blessed?
Have you learned something today? Why not turn to your